Today is Thursday, October 31st. We have important updates today about the impeachment inquiry, California wildfires, and political ads online. Plus, what to know about this year's World Series champions, Spotify's new option, and the TV streaming wars. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Today's the day. The House is set to hold its first formal vote on the impeachment inquiry. It comes more than a month after the inquiry was first announced. And while it's a big step in the process, it's also just one of many things happening with the investigation this week. So first, here's what you need to know about today's vote. The goal of this vote is to set out newly proposed rules and procedures for this investigation, especially as the hearings go public, which is expected to happen pretty soon. The New York Times reports public hearings could begin in just 2 weeks, meaning we would all get a closer look at what investigators have found so far. The new rules also allow for President Trump's lawyers and other Republicans to take a larger role in this inquiry, questioning witnesses and requesting testimony or documents. ABC News reports Democrats expect the new rules to pass today. They say they have enough support, even if every Republican in the House votes no. Of course, we'll update you about what happens tomorrow. Also happening today, another key person will testify. Investigators will hear from Tim Morrison. He's the top Russia and Europe advisor on the National Security Council, or NSC. NPR reports Morrison reportedly told lawyers for the NSC about President Trump's demands of Ukraine, saying he had a, quote, sinking feeling. Remember, President Trump asked Ukraine to investigate his political rivals, which basically set the impeachment inquiry in motion. And interesting timing here, the night before Morrison is set to testify, there's word he's leaving his job. Sources told NPR and others he's resigning, though it's not clear if he decided to leave on his own or was asked to step down. And lastly, looking ahead to next week, House Democrats want to interview John Bolton. And that would be a major witness. He's President Trump's former national security advisor who left his job in September over disagreements with Trump, though his lawyer has said he will not appear voluntarily. As of right now, it's just a request to show up, not an actual subpoena. So lots to watch here. Stay tuned. A huge wildfire in Southern California came dangerously close to the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and Museum. That's where historic papers from Reagan's years in office are held, and both he and his wife are buried on the grounds. The Los Angeles Times reports the brush fire burned about 100 yards away from the museum, but never actually reached the building. The massive fire started yesterday morning, and within a few hours, it tripled in size. Mandatory evacuations were ordered after the fire burned several neighborhoods in Simi Valley, just north of L.A. And in Northern California, the Weather Channel says firefighters are making progress on the massive Kincade Fire. The fire has burned through 120 square miles, but it's now at least somewhat contained. Also of note, electricity has been shut off for more than a million people in the state in an effort to prevent power lines from sparking even more wildfires during windy conditions. As for the Central Plains and Midwest, they're getting an early season snowstorm. Already, the storm brought more than a half foot of snow to Denver, Colorado. The Federal Reserve is cutting interest rates again for the third time since July. CNBC reports rates are dropping a quarter of a percentage point this time in the hopes of giving the economy another boost. But we'll have to wait to see how big of an impact this actually has. The Federal Reserve chairman suggests making a trade deal with China would do more. Remember, the U.S. and China have not been able to find common ground when it comes to trade, and that has taken a toll on the economy. But CBS News reports the Fed is optimistic, saying there seems to be progress. Either way, this may not be the last rate cut of the year, to be determined in December. Still, even the possibility of another rate cut seems to be reassuring investors. Stock indexes went up after yesterday's announcement. The Dow ended the day up 115 points. Twitter is banning all political ads. The reason? Twitter says political messages should be earned, not bought, saying paying for ads forces targeted messages on certain people, even messages that have unchecked misleading or false information. And CEO Jack Dorsey says the risk of using digital ads for politics is too great when it can then be used to influence votes and impact the lives of millions of people. NBC News reports some politicians are supporting Twitter's move, saying politicians should not be able to pay to spread misinformation. But President Trump's 2020 campaign manager argued it's another attempt to silence Trump and other conservatives. Twitter's decision is pretty much the opposite of Facebook's. Earlier this month, Facebook said it would run political ads, even if they had false info. The company has dealt with backlash for it, but Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has made it known he does not think it's right for private companies to censor politicians. As for Twitter, expect more details about the new policy next month. The company says it'll stop accepting political ads starting November 22nd. And we have a World Series winner. The Washington Nationals defeated the Houston Astros in the winner-take-all Game 7 last night with a final score of 6-2, meaning the Nats get their first World Series title in franchise history. And by the way, CBS Sports says this World Series had another first. For the first time in MLB postseason history, whichever team was the visiting team during the series was the one to win all 7 games. And that means the Nats pulled off 4 wins in Houston to become this year's World Series champions. Many fans in the nation's capital celebrated into the early morning hours. All right, more news ahead, but first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor. FabFitFun's seasonal subscription box is one of those things I look forward to 4 times a year. I know I'm always going to get fun, useful, quality products that I otherwise might not have known about, but end up loving. The FabFitFun box always comes with full-size, premium, beauty, fitness, fashion, and home products, so there's tons of variety in every box. And right now, the fall box is available, where you can get everything from Aveda hair products to a trendy scarf to a gourmet cutting board. You can choose to be surprised or customize your box with some options online. FabFitFun normally retails for $49.99, but with every box, you actually get a value of more than $200, so it's worth it. The fall box will sell out, though, so sign up yourself or tell the women in your life about it. Just go to FabFitFun.com and use the code NEWSWORTHY for $10 off your first box. Again, you can get $10 off your first box when you use the code NEWSWORTHY at FabFitFun.com. Now, back to the news. The world's 7th largest automaker, Fiat Chrysler, is now working on a deal that would create the 4th largest automaker. CNBC reports we're talking about a merger between Fiat Chrysler and French automaker PSA Peugeot. The two companies confirmed they're in talks, and the Wall Street Journal reports a deal could be announced as soon as today. Global automakers are feeling the pressure to invest in self-driving and electric cars, so Chrysler has been looking to find a partner to help stay ahead of the competition. Earlier this year, Fiat Chrysler was working on a deal with French car company Renault, but that fell through. So, will this new one work? Analysts told USA Today the merger would help Peugeot re-enter the U.S. market and give Chrysler the resources and technology to potentially make electric and hybrid vehicles. But first, the deal would need government approval. Spotify is working on an age-appropriate app for kids called, you guessed it, Spotify Kids. It will give parents full control over what their kids listen to. Tech Radar says younger kids will be able to listen to things like sing-alongs and lullabies from Nickelodeon or Disney. And as kids get older, their song choices would change, opening up artists like Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars. Parents will select their child's age group when they open the app to make sure the songs are age-appropriate. Spotify Kids will only be available for users with a premium family subscription, which costs about $15 a month. Right now, it's being tested in Ireland, but TechCrunch says it will roll out to more places soon. It's official, HBO Max is coming in May of 2020. That's the new streaming service from AT&T's Warner Media. CNET says it will cost $15 a month and it will offer 10,000 hours of programming, including HBO movies and shows, originals and other exclusive content like Friends, The Big Bang Theory, and South Park. HBO Max will also have podcasts on its mobile app, but The Verge says HBO Max will be one of the priciest streaming services out there. Apple TV Plus, for example, which launches tomorrow, is only $5 a month. And Disney Plus, which rolls out in 2 weeks, is $7. Even Netflix's most popular plan is cheaper, at $13. HBO Max will start out as ad-free, but an ad-supported plan will reportedly come out in 2021. Happy Halloween! It's that time many Americans will be thinking about pumpkin carving, costumes, and candy. A lot of candy. The National Retail Federation reports more than 160 million Americans, or about half the country, will buy $2.6 billion worth of candy for Halloween this year. And Business Insider found Skittles is the top-selling Halloween candy in 7 states, which is the most out of any other candy. In fact, CNN says it takes the candy maker Mars 2 years to get ready for each Halloween. That's the company that makes Skittles, Snickers, and M&Ms. But get this, data shows Americans actually spend even more money on candy for Easter than for Halloween. All right, that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know, only on Thursdays after the news. And today we're talking about a major change coming to college sports. The NCAA Board of Governors voted unanimously this week to allow players to profit on the side. Right now, college athletes are only allowed to take scholarships, but no other money-making deals. My guest today is a national sports columnist for USA Today, Dan Wolkin. He'll help break down what this vote means, why it matters, and the potential impact. Hi, Dan. Thanks so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So first, let's break down the basics of what this week's vote from the NCAA actually means and your initial reaction to it.
They have decided, and there's lots of reasons for it, that the name, image, and likeness issue is one that the NCAA needs to be open to, that they need to modernize their rule book, and that they need to accept that college athletes should have more opportunity to profit off their name, image, and likeness. Now, what they didn't do is come to any sort of agreement on how to implement it. That's going to be up to a committee of people to determine what the structure looks like. But there's a lot of details that are yet to be sorted out.
And I just want to back up for a minute for people who don't necessarily follow sports and know how this works currently. So right now, athletes are able to get scholarships, but that's really it. They're not allowed to make sponsorship deals, and that is the part that could be changing. But to be clear, this does not necessarily mean colleges would be paying their athletes, or I guess we don't really know those details yet. What are some of the possibilities of how this might work?
Yeah, so name, image, and likeness, essentially, if you are a college athlete and you accept a scholarship and all the benefits that come with a scholarship, you have agreed to not make any money off your name, image, and likeness. And there's a lot of things that potentially could go into that. Say, you know, somebody's got a YouTube feed that generates a lot of hits and potential income. And it's not, has nothing to do with their sports, but it's just kind of their personality and the stuff they do day to day. And that could be a big problem for them and their eligibility. So that's the kind of thing that could be changing, as well as potentially sponsorship deals for athletes who've got a big profile and some level of fame and could make money off of endorsing a business or a product. That's not currently allowed. Or, you know, potentially autograph signings. You know, somebody has the right to their name, and if their name has value in the form of an autograph, currently you can't make money off of that. So that could change as well. But the NCAA does not want this to turn into something that goes into the area of recruiting. That's what they don't want to have happen. And so finding the balance between those two areas is really trying to thread the needle. And it'll be interesting to see how they figure out how to do that.
And can you better explain what could potentially go wrong with either the recruitment process or something else?
Well, I think the entire notion of college sports is based on the idea that high school athletes who get offered scholarships will have choices, and they'll go to the school that offers them the best opportunities athletically, academically, socially. Maybe it's in their home state or the school they always wanted to go to, or the school that their parents went to. There's a million reasons why a college athlete will choose a particular school. And I think what the caretakers of the NCAA don't want to see happen is that high school students make choices because they get offered, you know, $50,000 or $100,000 more at one school than the other, because that could bring in a whole host of you know, unpleasant issues to deal with, including the fact that a lot of 17-year-olds make mistakes when they decide to go to a particular school or get, you know, could potentially get themselves involved in situations that they might regret if they want to leave, but they're contractually obligated to a certain business or booster to be in a particular town. You know, those are some unintended consequences that I think people would like to avoid.
On the flip side, players say they're just trying to get by while the colleges are making, you know, millions and millions of dollars. What's the main argument there?
Well, there's no doubt that college sports, the amount of money has grown massively over the years, and these big-time university athletic departments are nine-figure businesses annually. And so while the whole economics of the college sports landscape has changed, the deal the athletes get has not changed all that much. Most people now kind of look at it and say it's too inequitable. The amount of money the schools make, the coaches, the administrators, all the professionals who work in the athletic departments, they're getting rich. And the athletes who have a lot of say in the popularity of the product are still having to accept the scholarship, and it's not even something that's negotiated. They're not unionized. It's just take it or leave it. So that the public opinion on that has really shifted in favor of the athletes, and it's why you're seeing the push for name, image, and likeness rights, which is an area where they potentially could exploit some of their value.
At the end of the day, how much money do you think is on the table for athletes, and which athletes would actually even benefit from this?
Yeah, I think, well, every athlete potentially could benefit, even if it's, you know, somebody who's not a big star player. In their hometown, they might be a star, or they might have an opportunity to sell memorabilia or sign autographs or host a camp or a clinic to make some extra money. So everyone would have some sort of value. But yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the star players, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner or a high profile point guard at Kentucky or UCLA or somebody like that is going to have a higher profile and potentially more money-making opportunities because they would have more marketing value. But that's kind of, you know, same thing happens in the NBA. Kevin Durant gets, more sponsorship deals than most of the players that he's ever played with because he's more popular. And that's just kind of the way it works.
This is not an immediate change. What is the timeline and what are some next steps?
From what I understand, I think maybe next summer they'll come up with or come out with the structure of what they want to do. And that would go to a vote by the NCAA leadership. And then they would approve that. And the goal, as stated yesterday, is to have the new rules implemented at January 2021, which, you know, is a pretty quick timeline for an organization as big and diverse as the NCAA. And one that through the course of its history to do any major policy change takes a lot of time. They're going to try to get this one pretty aggressively through the system.
Anything we missed or anything else you want to add?
No, I would just stress that the actual details on it are unknown to this point, and that's really going to be where the success or failure of this comes in. And I think even the people who are working intimately on this don't know exactly what it's going to look like.
And you'll find links to some of Dan's articles and other information on this topic in today's show notes. That's also where you'll find the sources and links to all the stories we talked about today. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and then look for today's date. Thank you so much for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday, so we'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day, and for those who celebrate, happy Halloween.